Good morning. Good morning, Zoom family, if you're on there. Can't see you yet. We're going to be working on being able to have video, hopefully by next week. We'll have full audio this week, and you'll get to see the worship words and any scriptures that there are. So I want to thank everyone coming this morning. Praise the Lord. This is going to be the day that the Lord has made. It is. And we're going to allow Him to work in our lives so that we can rejoice and be glad in this day that He's made. We're going to run, Gay and I, over to see our granddaughter be baptized, which we're really excited. We haven't been able to do that. And Eric and Nancy Lopez are going to bring the word today for you guys after worship. So I know they have a great word for you. What? And we'll be back. So let's just open our hearts and just prepare for what the Lord wants to do in our lives today. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we thank you that you are the one that watches over our lives, Lord, all the time, 24/7. There's never a time, Lord, that we're out of your sight, that you're unaware of us. And Lord, you know who all has gathered here right now in this place and online. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our desire for you. And we ask, Lord, that you would allow us to receive today what you have planned for us. Lord, that we would not let distractions, we would not let, Lord, any kind of attitudes or anything hinder your work in our lives today. Lord, we just open up ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit to speak to us about anything that we hear in worship or during the word, Lord, that would challenge our lives so that we can become more like you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are the one that's at work in our lives to will and to do of your good pleasure. So let this service glorify you. Let our time together, Lord, be fruitful, and let us all grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, team. Thank you.
Thank you. Check, check.
So good. Thank you, worship team. Nancy, you want to join me up here? I guess you could take your hair out. All right, how is everybody feeling today?
Amazing.
Good? We're in November. We made it to November. Oh, you're going to use this mic, babe. Okay. Are you going to say something?
Do you want to pray for the service?
You want to pray for the service?
Okay. Have you ever said your name?
Yeah. So let's pray. Again, thank you guys so much. Thank you, ladies, for the worship. So good. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are and who you continue to be in our lives, God. And we just pray a blessing over every single person here, every single person listening online, God, and every person, Lord, in this city and in this world, God, that you would just bless us, Lord. We thank you for your presence, God. And we just ask that, you know, that your tangible presence would just be felt in this place. God, I thank you that you have already been working in this place before the doors even got opened today, before the first note was saying, before the first word is preached, God, that your presence, Lord, has already been working. And so we just bless today. We bless this service. God, we thank you, Lord, for the life-altering decision that Pastor Mike and Gay's granddaughters made today. And we thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you and your angels are celebrating in heaven today, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Yeah. We just thank you, Jesus, so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. So I think most everybody knows us, but if not, just a reminder. So my name's Eric. This is my wife, Nancy. We are from here, from Yakima, from this church, but we have been gone for 8 years, and we moved to California, and then we moved to Portland, and then God brought us back here. And it was a little bit of kicking and screaming on my part, but we're here, and I'm so glad to be back home, and was honored that Mike and Gay would ask us to share, and it just worked out so perfectly because we got to bless them to be at their granddaughter's baptism. And so today we're going to be talking about did you want to say anything?
Go ahead.
Before I just jumped
no,
in? Okay. So today we're going to be talking about something kind of a little bit practical. It is very spiritual, but at the same time, it's very practical. We're going to be talking about taking care of your heart. When we were asked to speak, the first thing that came to my mind was this, is what does it mean to take care of your heart? And this is something over the last few years, our family has really gone heavily after, is what does it look like to make sure that as a person, as a son, what does it look like to take care of my heart? What does it look like to not just do the things that are asked of me or whatever, but actually make sure that my heart is in the right place when I'm doing those things? And so And we want to make, I've seen kind of how Pastor Mike and Gay have run these Sunday services and stuff. And so we want to keep the same kind of rhythm with that. And so if you guys want to chime in or say anything, feel free. And you're going to have to stop me real quick. It's like she's doing right there. Like, you got to stop because I'll just keep going if you don't stop me. Okay. Hey, Lay, we need you off the stage. Don't lift it up. Thank you so much. I don't know whose kid this is, but if they can come get your parent. This is our Leon Murray. She is her first name is Leon Murray, and so her name is as big as her personality. We didn't do that on purpose, and I kind of regret it now. We should have just named her something like
Layla.
Lay. Do you want baby Lay? Okay. All right. So we're gonna do that. So when I say taking care of your heart, what is? Can somebody please tell me in what you think when I say take care of your heart? What does that mean to you? Yes.
Guarding your heart.
Guarding your heart. Yes. Anyone else? Making sure that you're protecting your heart and not giving your heart away. Yes. Did you have something?
It was along those lines that, you know, taking care of it, making sure that, because we give out so much of our heart, that we also have to fill our heart to keep giving it out.
Yes. Make sure our heart, that's good. Make sure our heart is full because we continue to give it. And that is something, especially, if you guys, I think you guys all know Vicky. She gives a lot of her heart, a lot of her heart. And so, yes.
What?
Yeah.
First of all, I believe we have to give our heart to the Lord. Then we come to the realization we have something to guard.
That's really good. Making sure we give our heart to the Lord first. And that's exactly it. Because a lot of times as believers, if we're not careful, we can fall into this place of I'm a Christian, therefore I have to, or I'm obligated to do these things because I want to represent Jesus, right? And that is mostly right. There's another part of that where it's, I also need to make sure that Holy Spirit is aligned, I'm aligned with Holy Spirit in that as well. Mm-hmm. And so, and everything, we need to make sure that everything is backed up by the Bible. And so I believe that the Bible has many verses about your heart. We're going to read one today in Proverbs 4. And I live my life, we live our life based on, we measure everything up against what the Word of God says. And so it's not measuring up what I'm feeling, measuring up of what, you know, society says, measuring up against anything else but what the Word of God says. If you can imagine, like, how many of you guys have ever had a broken bone? Right? Okay. So when you break a bone, you got to go to the doctor and they x-ray your arm. And then what do? They take that x-ray and they put it up against that light, right? And they shine that light through to be able to see where the bone is broken. If you can envision our every decision, everything we're feeling, everything we're thinking needs to be like that, where we bring that up against the light and we say, okay, what is the truth? What am I really seeing through this? Because sometimes we can make our own truths up and it could become it, right now in society, the big thing is, oh, that's your truth, but that's not my truth. This is the only truth I really care about. What does the truth say? I want to measure what I'm feeling or believing or thinking against what this says. So we're going to read this. Jesse, you could put it up. Proverbs 4, 23 through 26. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Yep.
Okay, so I'm just going to add on to what he's been talking about. Because for me, to guard your heart, as a mom, when I'm guarding my children, part of that looks like making sure they're being fed, right? That they're getting the good stuff, not just all the bad, right? They tend to love the sugars, but we got to make sure they're getting the protein and the calcium and all those things that's going to make them grow. So for one of the practical things that I like to talk to people about is what are you feeding your heart? Because like in the scripture, it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So if you're start noticing that these things that are coming out of your mouth are kind of negative, you have to step back and wonder, like, okay, what am I feeding myself? What have I been giving my heart? What am I meditating on? And begin to just practically think through those things. Like, am I focusing more on the political stuff that's going on in the news right now? Am I focusing more on what isn't being done? Or am I meditating on the Lord and the things that He has done, He is doing, and He will do? You know? And so for me, I like to put it in until it comes out of me. So sometimes it's like I'll take a scripture. I got to find my voice in the Word. And the Lord helps guide me in that sometimes. Sometimes it's just opening and finding a verse and just speaking that out. Or I'll go back to verses where I know the Lord has spoke to me before, and I just begin to speak that out and over and over and over until I find the peace or the joy. And so just making sure, so that's the biggest step, is like having what we call a Jesus filter, or a God filter is what I've called it to my kids forever. Because growing them up, I never wanted to necessarily shelter them, but I want to teach them how to make wise choices by making sure that they're feeding their God, their spirit man, before they ever feed their flesh. It's like, no, yeah, of course you can listen to that music, but what have you fed yourself first? Which man are you feeding first today? And making sure that you know where you're at. And so they will. They'll decide, like, maybe we'll listen to some secular music, and one of them will say, hey, Mom, can we actually change it to worship right now? I think I need that. And it's really cool to have your child be able to tell you, oh, that's great and all, but I'm feeling a little weak and I need this more today. And so just being aware of what are you feeling, your body, your mind, your heart. Does that make sense?
No, but okay. No, it does make sense. That's really good. And I'm reminded of, again, where this all kind of stems from is because I don't think I really thought much about what my heart needed or what I was feeding my heart. Of course, I thought about it a little bit, but it really became clear to me when we moved down to Reading. A lot of our first year of ministry school, because that's where we went, was focused on this, on your heart. And I was like, oh, I need to be checking in with my heart literally a lot more. And it sounds weird, but it was actually so liberating, I had felt so much more freedom when I was like, I'm overwhelmed right now, or I'm stressed out, or I'm angry, or I'm feeling sad, or whatever. What's going on? And when I'd be able to stop and just say, okay, heart, what, I literally ask my heart that question, what do you need right now? And sometimes my heart would be like, you need to go play video games because you're so wound up, or you need to go read your word. You need to go worship. You need to go fill in the blank. And it became such a pivotal practice for us, because life can get chaotic and life can get busy. And if we're not sure what's going on in here, we just become reactive people. And there's a difference between responding and reacting. Reacting is it happens. I don't think about it. It just happens. Whatever comes out. Somebody says something mean to me and I just spout something back. That's a reaction. A response is somebody says something mean to me and then I take that in and think about then what I'm going to say back. That's a response. And so when I begin to take care of my heart, I'm then walking in a responsive state and able to, okay, no more am I going to walk in reaction because I'm taking care of this thing, and I know I now can respond to life. Okay? Do you want to end on that?
Kind of.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I like to think of it as turning my heart into a thermostat and not a thermometer. So like checking my vitals before I go into a place. Because sometimes, have you guys ever experienced where you go into a store and everything was perfectly fine in the car, but then you get in the store and all of a sudden you're like heightened and anxious and irritated, or maybe just all of a sudden just not feeling very good? Well, we're spiritual beings, and I feel that if I'm checking my vitals before I go into a place, I'm like, okay, what is mine? What am I carrying today? And then walking into a business that's being, you know, ran by somebody else, if we're not careful in guarding our heart, guarding our spirits, and checking in with ourselves, and we go into these places, we can tend to be more of a thermometer, and we're taking the temperature of the atmosphere and then showing those readings, right? Versus expressing what's inside me and changing the atmosphere that's around me. So that's, is that what you're saying? Kind of, yeah. that make sense? Yes.
If you don't take time to like fill yourself spiritually, you just become subject to, like you said, like everything around you, and you can't really be the hands and feet of Jesus if we're just constantly absorbing the world.
Right. Right, and it's easier said than done, right?
Yeah. Actually carve out time in your day to like really focus on your spirit.
Yes.
You can't just, I'm just going to live my life normally and listen to who knows what type of music and watch whatever on TV and expect ourselves to be filled spiritually. You have to read your word. You have to worship. You have to talk to God.
Right, absolutely. That's super good. Yeah. So balancing and making sure that you're feeding your spirit before we're feeding, like, where's your time? Like, if you were to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, like, where's my time going? Am I doing 3-4 hours of TV and maybe 20 minutes of reading the word? For some people that might be okay, but for others, it's probably like, oh, there's an imbalance here, and how am I going to fix that on a practical level, right? And sometimes it's just, even just getting in, even if it's just sitting in silence and turning your heart towards him. For me, I like to put my forehead against Jesus's forehead and just say, okay, I'm just looking into your eyes, Lord. I'm saying, focus on you. I know this noise is going on here and this thing's going off here, but I just want to know, what are you doing? What do you have to say? And I'll be silent. And sometimes I give as much as I can, because, you know, not everybody can give, you know, multiple hours to reading the word or praying, but what we can do is begin to walk with him intentionally and always being aware of where he is and who he is in our situation, right? Just trying to practice turning our heart and setting it on him no matter what we're doing in the day, which it's easier said than done, right? Bill Johnson talks about talking or walking as with Holy Spirit like it's a dove on your shoulder. A dove is a very sensitive creature, right? It's one of those things like it also changes an atmosphere. When you walk into where doves are being nested, it's like peace. I don't know if you've ever been amongst that. So it's like they're peaceful creatures. How do I keep myself in alignment with what Holy Spirit's doing in everything? Even when I'm going to the bathroom, like, Jesus, I just love you. Thank you so much. And just checking in, right? Okay.
Okay. So verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So above all else, simply put, means to do this first. This right here is most important. Above all else, protect your heart. Guard your heart. Raising kids, one of the things that we've tried to do really hard is stay consistent. And so in our house, it's if I tell the kids, hey, I need you to take care of your chores, I'm not interested in having a conversation with them about anything else until they do their chores. So go take out the trash. And then 2 minutes later, Caden comes to me and is like, hey, can we watch a show? Like, did you take out the trash? No. Okay. After you take out the trash, then we can talk. And so do this first. Above all else means this needs to be priority. We need to make sure that our hearts are priority. That, and it's all a part, it's all encompassed in our spiritual walk. Yes, make sure you're reading your word. Yes, make sure you're praying. Yes, make sure you're doing your devotion. And that's a part of taking care of your heart. Mm-hmm. Above all else, do this. And so I think where people struggle sometimes and they get all in their walk, they're not sure what they're doing. It's because they're like, I'm not perfect, you know, and oh my gosh, I haven't, you know, like, been to church in a week and I hadn't prayed and I didn't go to small group. And it's like, those things are very important. Yes. But the Lord is ultimately looking at your heart. Where's your heart at? That's because there's a lot of people that are going to small group and going to church every Sunday and their hearts aren't in the place where God wants them to be. And that's not like a shame thing. I'm just kind of trying to be real that people aren't actually focused in on where their hearts are. And they're just thinking, if I can just tick off the Christian boxes every week, then I'm good with God. And as long as I'm able to fill out this sheet with God that ticks off, I went to church, I prayed, I made sure my radio stations were set to K-Love and Air One, and, you know, whatever else you want to tick off, and then at the end of the week I can hand it in to God so he can give me the next slip. It's like, great, but where was your heart in all that? Does that make sense? And so above all else, make sure you guard your heart. You have something to say, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Go. Well, in Scripture it talks about how the Lord says, like, if you do this all, but you're not doing it with the right heart, then it's for nothing, because he's not a God of works. He's a God of love and intentionality, right? Relationship.
So. I'm looking at these notes. This is a message I've spoken before to youth, and it's funny because I have in here, treat your heart like you do your phone. So if your phone's very important to you, it's important to me, so it makes sense to me. In verse 24, it says, keep your mouth from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. And I want to define perversity. Perversity is willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired. Don't do that to me. You're throwing me off. Sorry. To go counter to what is expected or desired. This includes how you speak about yourself. This isn't just talking about keeping perverse words about other people or other things or just perverse words in general. It also refers to yourself. How you speak about yourself, how you're speaking about others, how you're speaking about your city. You guys, one of the things that killed me in our 8 years away was the things I would see online about Yakima, Washington. It would kill me. And I'd be like, that's my city. Don't you dare talk about my city that way. Like, I just want to spend a little bit of time on this because I believe that we all, even though we're few in numbers, I believe we all have a mantle to take authority in our city and to pray for our city and to pray for the violence that we hear about and the drugs and all the things that Yakima is unfortunately known for and make declarations over the city of Yakima. In the surrounding counties.
So like Caleb and Joshua, when they were told to go with the other spies, came back and all they saw was the bad. But Caleb and Joshua, they came back and they're like, yeah, I see those giants. They're obviously there. But God said there's milk and honey. And he says that we can take this, right? So it's not avoiding or denying that these things are going on. It's being aware of and saying, and also the Lord, but God, right? But God. Yes, Mom?
Let me say to what Eric was saying about how we talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Your dad actually started something with me, and now I do it with other people. And we learned it in a marriage retreat, a Christian marriage retreat through the military. And the guy said, my son said something about his mom because he was mad about his mom. And I looked at my son and I said, don't talk about my wife that way.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I have to remember to do that for myself, because one of the first things we do when we make a mistake, oh my God, I'm stupid. I can't believe I did something so stupid.
Yeah.
And I hear God telling me, don't speak about my God.
So good.
And we need to remember, because then we are feeding what the enemy, and we're eating what the enemy is giving to us when we continue to say those things about ourselves.
So good.
What he's saying. Mm-hmm. So we have to remember to say, you know, he knew. And I have a young lady that I'm working with now, and I keep telling her that because she keeps saying these things about herself, and I will tell her, do not speak about my friend that way.
That's super good.
That's the only way that I know how to speak into her right now until
that's good.
More doors are open. But I like that you said that, because I never realized that it was perversity that I was speaking to myself.
It's counter to, like, I heard it said this way, I can't afford to have a thought in my mind about myself that he doesn't have about me.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important. And so I would also add, it's not just positive thinking, it's kingdom thinking. Like, anything counter to kingdom thinking is a perverse thought. And that includes even about our health. Our daughter, Skylie, she has struggled with asthma her whole life. Now, it would be simple for us to say, oh, you know, her asthma is acting up. But we've shifted that thought in our mind, and we don't call it her asthma because it's not her asthma. It's something that, unfortunately, we deal with, but we're contending for her healing. And so we don't call it her asthma because that's counter to kingdom. There isn't asthma in heaven. There's not asthma here. And so does that make sense? And but that's just that's watching what comes out of our mouth.
Right. Just like verse 24, it says, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Because the Lord also says that there's power of life and death in our tongues. Right. And you see it all over. Like sometimes we speak ourselves into illness. We speak ourselves into depression because of how we speak to ourselves. And you could take a plant, like two different plants, and you give them both exactly what they need, water and sun, and watch them grow. But one, you speak life over this one. You sing to it, you tell it how beautiful it is and how what you see it to be, and watch how it grows. But the second one you take, and it's still getting everything it needs, but you're like, oh man, you're weak. I don't like you. Wow, you could really use better stems. Like, you know, and you'll watch, like, they're both getting exactly what they need, but the plant that's being, the life spoken over it will bloom and blossom and grow exponentially, even better than an average plant that gets just what it needs. But the one will begin to die. It begins to wilt. It begins to rot. And I've watched it. And it's just, it's incredible. So when we got to keep that in mind when we're speaking of ourselves and of others. The Lord doesn't caution us these things for no good reason. He's telling us, like, there is power in your tongue. The way you speak about yourself, the way you speak about others, the way you speak about your government, the way you speak about your city.
About your president.
About your president. It shifts things, and it causes life or it causes death. And which do you choose? Which do you want to have happen? What do you want to have coming from your mouth? Do you want life to come from your mouth, or do you want death? Because you have that power. He gives you authority to co-labor with him. So when we're speaking, the Lord created the earth in words. He spoke about all this beauty, and we get to do the same because we're made in his image.
I used to use foul language really, really bad, you know, grew up with it. But there were a couple words that were also very hard on my spirit that I grew up with that I refused to use. But one of the things is I heard somebody ask me one day, would you kiss your mother with that mouth? And it was like, oh. And then my kids hearing my words, use words that I was using when they were little, I was like, oh. And then so now a new question is, would I kiss Jesus with this mouth? So whether it's cussing or whether it's perversity or whether it's corruption, life or death, am I going to kiss Jesus with death on my mouth? I don't think so.
Gotta preach. Nancy reminded me when she was talking about plants, I was reminded of Tim used to have a lot of plants in his house. And when I was first coming around, they were like big plants. And so sometimes if you would brush by them, he would tell you to stop and he would say, apologize, sorry, I plant. Yeah, and he'd be like, I'd do it. And then be like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. I'd be like, oh, sorry. So Nancy referred to this verse earlier. It's Luke 6:45. We don't have it, but just trust me that this is what it says. Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what comes out of your mouth really, really matters. So verse 25 and 26 of Proverbs 4 says, let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. So I want us to do something right now collectively as a group. And I want us to ask Holy Spirit about something in a decision in your world that maybe you need to make, maybe you are wondering about. And this is just for you. This isn't for us. No one needs to share up front. But I just think that we need to do what this verse says and making sure that our eyes are looking straight ahead and that we're fixing our gaze directly before. So right now, I want everybody just to close their eyes. And in your mind, I want you just to begin talking to Holy Spirit about decisions, a decision in your life, to get his perspective on it. And we're just going to take a few moments to let Holy Spirit speak to you. Yeah, it's important that obviously it's important that we are people that pray. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes, and I know I've done this, where we can overcomplicate what it looks like to have communication with the Lord. I don't only talk to my wife about important things when we go out on dates, or it's just us, you know, the kids are in bed. Like, yes, those times happen, but I'm in constant, like, communication with her. I don't need a special moment to be able to communicate with her. I don't need a Sunday service to communicate with her. I don't need a prayer closet to communicate with her. Does that make sense? Those things are important, and I don't want to belittle those, because I love the Sunday gathering and I love the devotion time. But what I've struggled with in my time as a Christian is this pressure to have this special moment only when I can talk to God, because God is at my access at all points. I don't need to call Pastor Mike and say, hey, can you ask God something for me? And then relay the message back to me. Like, I have full access to him. Mm-hmm. And when I step into that as a son, I then allow him then to speak down to me as a father in all decisions that I need to make, big or little. And so this is why I just wanted to take that moment, because I believe that we all have decisions that are going around in our mind of what we should do, or, you know, about things that we have done. And we're just like, God, I need your perspective on it. And so you just stop and you allow him to speak into it. And yes, of course, there are times you need community around you, and that's important as well. But I also believe that when you can step into getting your relationship down with the Lord, where that communication is just happening, like, it's so good. It's a game changer.
Sure.
Okay. So to stay steadfast is defined as firm and unwavering. When you hear what God has for you, your job then is to plant your feet in his truth. And sometimes it's just asking or focusing on, what's the last thing God told me to do? You guys ever, like, been in a moment where you're like, I know that I'm supposed to be doing something, but I'm not hearing God about this. I have no clarity on it. I have no, like, confirmation on it. Has anybody ever been in that situation where you're just like, I don't know what to do, right? The best advice, or the best thing I've heard, and you see it in the Bible happening as well, is that in those moments, God's silence is the answer. What's the last thing he told you to do? When we moved down to Redding, California, it was supposed to be for 1 year. For those of you that were here, you remember me saying that. It's 1 year, we'll be back. And 8 years later, we're back. But at the end of that year, I remember just like, oh, what is, like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. Like, are we supposed to go back home? Like, what are you supposed to do? And I heard somebody say, what is the last thing the Lord told you to do? Because I wasn't getting any clarity. And the last thing the Lord told us to do is to move to California. So that's what we kept doing. Stayed in California. And then it almost sounds too simple, but sometimes it is that simple. We want this big grandiose, like the prophet came to church and gave us a word and said that you're supposed to go do this, or we got a visitation in our dreams, or, you know, whatever, when an angel came to us at the night. And I'm sure those things can happen, but sometimes it's as simple as God saying, I already told you what to do 9 months ago. Mm-hmm. Keep doing that. And until you hear me say something else, keep doing that.
No, it's good.
There are three questions I like to ask myself in these moments of, like, when he's basically having to be still, which is really hard for me. I like to do things. I like to make, things happen, right? But I have to, like, keep God in God's spot. But I tend to like to move him over to co-pilot.
What is God's spot?
God's spot is like the forefront. He's my pilot. He tells me where to go, and I follow, right? He's my leading, my guiding light, my beacon. And so I'll act like, but then there's times that go on, whether it be just things around me, family stuff or whatever. And it's like, you feel overwhelmed and I'm like, okay, can I see him? No, I really don't see him right now. Do I hear him? No, I don't feel like I'm hearing him right now. I feel like he's super distant. So then I have to ask myself, can I remember him? Do I remember him? And when I do that, I'm like, oh, well, I remember he did this for me last time. When in a silent moment, these are the things that came out of that. And I begin to speak those things. I begin to thank him for those things and just stay focused on what he's done versus what he's not doing fast enough for me. Yes. It's so good.
Yeah.
Super good. Yeah, because the enemy, that's the biggest thing, is he likes to make noise. He likes to create chaos and confusion so that we're pulled away and distracted, right? But if we can stay focused and remember what it is that the Lord has done, when we don't see what he's doing, we stay steadfast, right? And we're able to trust him in these chaotic moments, because it's like, oh, okay, I've got my peace back. I know that you said we won. You're on the winning side. So even though it feels like I'm losing right now, I trust you, and I know, and I trust what you have to say to me. And the last thing you said was, or the last thing you did was, just like in the Old Testament, they would build these stone altars, these rock altars, where they would go back to, and they built them to remember, what did God do in this place? What did he do for our family? What did he say? Like, that's how the stories were able to continue, because they would go back to these places to remember the things that the Lord done, or when they would be traveling and they'd stop at these on purpose to remember and reflect. Wow, the Lord is so good. He really is faithful, which I think they could have used in the desert, right? But yeah, so just remember to prayerfully meditate on what he has done. If you can't see what he's doing, what has he done? And also, read through Ephesians. If I can give you one thing, it's like so many practical applications on how to take care of yourself, how to protect your heart, what are the steps that you can take just on a real practical, real fundamental level, by like, husbands, remember to love your wives, and wives, remember to respect your husbands, and children, obey your parents, for this is right. And it's the one commandment that comes with the promise that your life will be lived well and long and good, right? And to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. And with this comes the promise that you'll live long on the earth. But then it also goes into telling you how to put on the armor of God. What is the armor of God? And how do I apply that? How do I put that on every day? Sometimes I have to remind myself. So I go into Ephesians 6:10 and I'm like, oh, okay, that's right. So, and I just take it piece by piece. And sometimes I have to reapply it in the same day because I took it off for whatever reason, or maybe I let it fall, you know? And so it's not a bad thing to make mistakes. It's okay, well, how do I get back up again? How do I trust you again, Lord? What do I do? You know, and just making sure that we're reapplying and that we're not giving up and that we're continuing to stay humble, right?
Your Bible's distracting because it's so wrinkly.
It's my favorite. I've had this forever. I don't even have an
like
index
falling
anymore.
Apart. So a huge part, a big part of taking care of your heart is making sure you're focused on the right thing, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it looks like if you don't have peace in your heart about something, or just peace in your heart just about life, a good practice is just asking the Lord where you lost your peace. Because sometimes it can, we've all experienced those moments where you're like, oh, I'm all of a sudden, like Nancy brought about the store situation, but it sometimes it just happens you're at home and you're like, why am I like feeling anxious? And being able to think like, Lord, where did I lose my peace? And then him say, oh, you went on Facebook for a quick 5 seconds and you saw that post. And being able to like, oh, okay, God, let me now partner with peace instead of partnering with whatever I partnered with. And so making sure that we're staying focused is going to be a key in taking care of your heart. I like to look at it as, like in photography, if you guys ever use like a fancier camera with the lens that you could adjust, you know, if you put somebody in front of you, you could focus them in and make the background blurry, right? But if you do the other way, you can focus everything in the background and make them blurry. Sometimes, a lot of times, what we do as Christians is we have Jesus in front of us, but we're focused on everything around him. So he's blurry. He's there. We're like, yeah, Jesus is in front of me. But everything around him and behind him is what's in focus. The struggles at work, the struggles in my marriage, you know, what's going on in the country right now, you know, all those things. What I have to make for dinner, you know, the laundry that's piling. And so he's there and we're like, yeah, he's in my eyesight, but he's actually not in focus. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we actually are focused on the right things. And yeah, again, all those things are going to still be there. But when you have him in focus, like that's the place where our heart needs to be. Amen.
Amen.
And so do you have anything else you want to share? Okay. So I'm going to pray and pray that whatever we said made sense. And so Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are, and Lord, that you are taking care of our hearts, Lord, that you've had your sights on our hearts from the beginning. And so Lord, I just pray right now for any heart in this place that is feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, burdened, sad, that, Lord, that you would just come in and your overwhelming peace, your overwhelming understanding would just spread, Lord, over these hearts, God, in this place. Mm-hmm. We thank you so much, God. God, I pray, Lord, over this week, God, that we would be in tune with our hearts. Lord, we'd be in tune with the things that you have put on our hearts, Lord, the people that you want us to speak to, Lord, the things that you want us to do, Lord. God, that we would not be ruled by our feelings. We would not be ruled by out of a reaction, a reactive place, God. Lord, but we would be led by your Holy Spirit. We'd be guided by who you are. Yeah. So again, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that when we leave this place, your presence doesn't stay, but that we get to take you with us into our lunchtime, into the rest of our Sunday, into our homes, into our workplaces. So we thank you so much for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, love you guys. Thank you guys for being here, and we'll see you guys next Sunday. Yeah, if you guys need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. So, but other than that, we'll see you guys next Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.